We're holding on Kofiud Amud Bey's five lines from the bottom. We started learning yesterday about the mitzvah of paying workers on time, where you have it mentioned in two different places in Parshas Kedoshim and in Parshas Kisaitzeh, and we said one is referring to somebody who works by day, and one is referring to somebody who works for you by night. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Mimashma lo solon pa'ula socher itcha. When the Pasuk says in Parshas Kedoshim, don't leave over by you by overnight the wages of the worker without paying him. So automatically overnight means ad means ad, any a day ad boker. Don't I know that all night means until the morning? Ma tamud lema ad boker. So why does the pasuk add the words ad boker? Melamed she'ena over be'isur ela ad boker rishon bilvad. Melamed she'ena over ela ad boker rishon bilvad. So it means that he's only over. When it comes the first morning, so we're talking about again a worker who worked by night, who worked by day, where we said in the Mishnah you have he has the entire night for you to pay him because the Torah gave you time during the night to go and put the money together. So now if you wait until the end of the night and you don't pay him, then that first night you're over on this iser of Baal Ta'ach. So the Gemara asks Bilvad only. Mikan ve'elach mai, what about after that? Omer Rav, over mishum bal tashne. So Rav says at that point he's going to be over on what's called a mitzvah medivrei kabbalah, a mitzvah that you're not allowed to continue delaying paying it, but the aveda, the isur min haTorah of loisolin is only that first night, says Rav Yosef. What Omer Rav Yosef mai k'ra, so what pasuk expresses that isur of bal tashne? The pasuk says in Mishlei, don't tell your fellow yid, go away and come back, and I'm going to give tomorrow when you in fact have it with you. So in other words, Shlomo HaMelech is expressing for us in Isser that when you owe somebody money for whatever reason, don't delay, don't push off, and give them excuses that you don't have it yet or whatever, when in fact you do have it. So that he's over every day, but the Isser of Baal Tolin, the Isser Min HaTorah. Rav is saying he's the Braise is saying, and Rav explains he's over only the first day. Tosfos earlier in the Masechta, by the way, learns that when a person is over on Baal Tolin, he would actually get Malkus. Tosfos learns that this would be an example of even though it's a lav shein be maisa on the face of it, and it's a lav on nitak la'ese and so forth. Well, maybe it's not a lav on nitak la'ese because once he was over on the first night, then he can't make that up. Even when he pays later, he's still over that first night. Anyway, Tosfos learns earlier in the Masechta that in fact he is going to be over, that he isn't going to be Chayav Malchus. The Rambam and most other Rishonim disagree with that and say that no, because it's a lav shein memaisa. In this connection, by the way, the Alter Rebbe brings in Hilchos Halva that you have no right to go and even try to say, well, I'll make shorter with you or something like that, where it's where you're just doing it in order to try to delay or get out of paying. You can't do that because the fact is, even if you're not lying, you're still not Yotzi Yidei Shemayim until you pay off what you owe. Okay. The Gemara continues. If a person tells somebody else, go hire workers for me, then neither of them is over on Baal Tolin if the payment is delayed. The boss, the actual one they're working for is. The one they're actually working for is not over because he's not the one who hired them. He delegated that to somebody else. And the shliach is not because the pa'ula, because the actual work is not being done for him, it's being done for somebody else. Well, the Gemara asks, hey chidami, what exactly is the scenario here? If the shliach is actually the one responsible for paying the salaries and he tells them at the time that the payment is on me, then in fact that schar is on him and he should be over. The Tanya, as in fact we learn a braisa, sochos apoyel lasis b'shaloi. We learned this earlier in the Masechta that if a person hires a worker to do some work in his property, and instead he showed the worker somebody else's property, and the guy ended up doing the work over there. Noisim lo schorim mishalim. He has to pay him his schar in full because the guy did the work, and it's your fault for showing him the wrong place. V'chozer notum balabayis, and then you go and get reimbursed by the owner. Mashahana oisa, the amount that he got hana. Which is, in other words, that we don't necessarily say the full value of it. We say how much he would have been willing to pay for how much he would have been willing to pay for what do you call it for lesser for less expert workers or Yitzia versus Shvach, whatever, as we talked about earlier when we learned about this in the sixth parak. In any case, here you would say the same thing. The shliach is chayev to pay them on that day, and then later on he'll go and get reimbursed from the Baal HaBayis. So what's the case over here where we're saying that that neither of them is going to be over? The answer is the chiddush is, suppose he tells them, your schar is on the Baal HaBayis. I'm only hiring you, but I'm not the one who's going to be paying you. The Baal HaBayis is, and therefore that's when we're saying neither one is over on Baal Tali. Now, what happened to Shlucha Shalom Kamosa? In fact, the Chidushim Amyuchas and Moritva wonder about that. Okay, maybe he says that maybe we don't say Shlucha Shalom Kamosa, where it would be a choiv for him, where it would cause him to be over on an Isser. But the Tosfos Rid gives an explanation. The reason is because not so much because of Xeris HaKosev or anything like that, but because practically speaking, the workers are not depending on that they're going to get their schar in time, since they know that there were two different people involved over here. So therefore, they don't necessarily have that smichus das that they know that they're going to be able to get their pay on that day or on that night, as the case may be. And therefore you're not over on Baal Tolan, because they themselves are not really expecting it. Rashi makes the point that they're not considered his schirim because he didn't hire them directly, and there's discussion about what Rashi means by that. Maybe it's al derech, like you have the same way, for example, we say shluch shalom kamosei, but you certainly can't say, for example, that you can have a shliach put on tefillin instead of you. You can't, when it's a mitzvah begufoi, then you can't do that. So maybe over here the vote would be that even though there's a shliach involved, the fact is that the mishaleach himself is not directly involved, and therefore he wouldn't be over. So the Gemara gives an example. Yehuda bar Marema omer l'shamei, in that vein, Yehuda bar Marema would tell his servant when he needs workers, zil agli poyalim, go hire workers for me, ve'em lahu, and tell them schar chama Baal HaBayis, that your schar is good, that your payment is going to be dependent on the Baal HaBayis, not you, and therefore neither of us will be over on Baal Tolan. Obviously, they're not doing that. Tosfos says he's not actually planning to delay their payment, but this way, in case he delays their payment because he's busy with his work, with his other work, then this way he won't inadvertently be over the Isser. Tosfos also says, actually, in that case, now we just said there's an Isser Daraisa Baal Tolan. There's also an Isser Medivrei Kabbalah based on the words in Mishle of Al Terma L'Reach Aleich Vashuv. There's also an Isser to a certain extent, not really Derabanan, it's called Medivrei Kabbalah. It's sort of like halfway between Daraisa and Derabanan. In this particular case, Tosfos says, actually, if Yehuda bar Marema is in fact so busy with his work that he forgets to pay them, he wouldn't be over on that either. But nevertheless, he still wanted to make sure that he's not over on Baal Tolan, even inadvertently, and therefore he would have somebody else hire them and tell them schar chama Baal HaBayis, and that way, as we're saying, then he won't be over even inadvertently. Similarly, the Gemara says Maremo Mazutra Agri Lahadadi. Similarly, Maremo and Mazutra would hire workers for each other. Same idea. In other words, this way, neither one of them is the mashaleach who's hiring the workers, and therefore, if they do forget to pay them, they're not going to be owed. There is, by the way, some discussion on the question, are you bechlal over if the worker hasn't demanded the pay? And there are in fact mefoshim who learn that the whole issue of Baal Tolan will really only come into the picture only when the guy is teveya, only when the guy comes and demands his pay. Based on that, the Rebbe used to talk about sometimes that in the same vein, in other words, when we, it's not just enough to expect that Mashiach is going to come. We have to demand him and ask for him to come, and we want Mashiach now, and so on and so forth. And that otherwise, so to speak, Hashem is not obligated to do it. But once we demand it, then that puts Hashem under an obligation. Bechlal, I mentioned yesterday there's a sicha where the Rebbe talks about the deeper idea of this this concept of paying a worker on time. There's a sicha in Chelech Chavtes where the Rebbe analyzes the question. Well, how is it we know the schar of mitzvahs is la'asid lavoi? So what happened to b'yomer titin schari where Hashem does all the mitzvahs? So it's one thing you could say. Now you have the Rambam holds the ultimate schar is the neshama for it by itself. Gan Eden after 120 and eventually after Tchias Emesim, where the Rambam learns that everybody who comes alive by Tchias Emesim eventually is going to die also, and there'll be a world of only neshama. So you could say, according to him, as long as you're in this world, you're still on the job, and therefore, as soon as you go into the next world, then that's where you get your schar. But the Ramban, who holds, and Chassidus agrees with him, that the ultimate schar is during Tchias Emesim, the Shamas in Gufim. So that's a long time. After a person passes away, what happened to paying the schar on time? And so the Rebbe explains there in the Sicha, the vote is, it's not just an individual thing, a vote on any individual Yid, it's a corporate responsibility across all Yidden, across all generations. And therefore, when that work is done collectively, that's when the schar will be given, because that's when Mashiach will come and there'll be Tchias Emesim, and that will be the ultimate schar. The fact that in between the Eivishter gives us gashmius is more like the Rambam himself says is that that's more means to an end to make it possible for us to do the work more enthusiastically, and that's al derech like you have as we talked about earlier in Masechta, the din where the worker is allowed to eat on the job. Anyway. Getting back to the Gemara, so Omer Rabba Bar Rav Huna, so in a similar vein, just like we're saying that when you hire somebody, that when you have somebody else hire your workers for you. We're saying neither you nor your shliach are over on Baal Ta'achar. You because you didn't hire them directly, and they because they didn't because and the shliach because he's not the one paying them. And again, we have the Tosfos Rid's point, especially that therefore they themselves don't have that smichus das that they're going to get that there's a certain time by which they're going to get paid. So in a similar vein, Omer Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Hanishu Koy de Sura, the people who run markets in Sura, the people who come there and buy their who come to those markets and sell their wares and things, loy avim mishum baltolin, they are not over on baltolin if they don't pay their workers on time. The reason is may de yadi, because the workers know good and well that these people they don't have a lot of liquid cash. They're waiting until they finish selling their things at the market, and therefore that now they're going to have money. So again, there's no smichus das of the workers that until then the owner is going to have what to pay them. Now Rashi learns that in that case, these shukoi de sura are never going to be over, because again, we said before, the isser of Baal Tolin only applies the first night. After that, if he was over, then he's over. And in this case, he's not again, because the workers themselves are not expecting the pay by then. And Rashi learns once he wasn't over that first time, then he's not over afterwards either. Then he's not over afterwards either. On the other hand, there are mafoshim who learn that in fact, in that case, later on, once he does have the money, he will be over if he doesn't pay them. But at least, in other words, the point is they're not over until they actually have the money. That's the Meiri learns that way. So therefore, they're relying on the Yom HaShoah. However, it is true they are going to be over on the Issu Medivir Kabbalah of Baal Tasha, of don't delay. If when they have the money, they don't actually pay. In the Mishnah, we said, so we had like this. The Mishnah had first described when a person is working all day versus all night. The basic rule was, we said, when he works all day, then you have all night to pay him. The Torah gives you an extra owner to go and put the money together. So the guy finished working for you at the end of the day, meaning at Shkia or at Seisek Kachavim, then you have until the end of that night to pay him. And vice versa, if he worked for you all night, then you have the whole subsequent day until Shkia to pay him. What happens? The Mishnah had said, "Schir shoyis." When you have somebody who's hired only for a few hours, then so we said, "Goyva kol alayla v'chol ayoyim." He collects all night and all day. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, "Omer Rav, schir shoyis di yoyim goyva kol ayoyim." What it means is, if you hired the guy to work for you for a few hours during the day, then you have the whole rest of that day to pay. And if you hired him for a few hours during the night, then you have all night to pay him. So in other words, Rav is saying that that always, in order to not be over on Baal Tolin, you do have to pay him within the time. So if you had hired him for the entire day, then you have a grace period of the night after that, and vice versa. But here, where you hired him for only a couple of hours during the day, then Rav learns you don't really have that grace period. You have to pay him by the end of the day, and the same thing with the night. Shmuel says no. It's true if you hired him for a few hours during the day, then you have to pay him during that day. But if you hired him for a few hours during the night, then you have not only the rest of that night, but the entire rest of the day. The reason is, Rashi explains, because we know that in halacha generally, hayom holach achra alayla, the night, the day, the Jewish day begins at night. So therefore, so when you hired him by day, then it comes the end of that day. Well, then it's the end of that day. Then at that point, you're over. But if you hired him during the night, the vote would be you have until the end of that calendar day. Well, the end of that calendar day in halacha is the following Shkia. Therefore, you have the rest of that night as well as the rest of that day. So the Gemara says, Tanan, well, let's see. Our Mishnah says, our Mishnah had said that a person who's hired for hours by night can collect all night and all day. That would be a contradiction on Rav, because Rav is saying that's only by night or only by day, and the Mishnah is saying both. The answer is, the answer is Rav is going to say that the Mishnah is not talking about one case. The Mishnah is, in one sentence over here, is describing two possible cases. When it says kol ha'layla v'chol ha'yom, it means depends what kind of schir shoyis he is. Schir shoyis de yom go v'chol ha'yom. It means when it says kol ha'layla v'chol ha'yom, it means it depends when he was hired for. If he was hired during the day, then you have the entire day. If he was hired during the night, schir shoyis de layla go v'chol ha'layla. And if he was hired for a few hours during the night, then you have the entire night. So it doesn't mean Lila v'yom that you have, so that there were any, that there's ever a case, according to Rav, where you do have the night and the day. It means the night or the day, depending on the circumstances. All right, the Gemara says, Tanan, well, we learned in our Mishnah another case, Hoya Schir Shabbos. We said if the guy was hired for an entire week at a time, Schir Chodesh, or a month, Schir Shana, or a year, Schir Shavua, or for 7 years, or for a period of 7 years, then we said you don't have to pay him until the end, because as we learned yesterday, the requirement to pay him kicks in only at the end. Again, obviously, when you're negotiating the employment contract, you may well negotiate different terms. Yeah, you know, like we said yesterday, not necessarily is the guy going to want to wait 7 years to get a lump sum, but nevertheless, by default, that's how it would be. And then the Mishnah had said, ultimately, if he leaves during the day, then he has the rest of that day to collect. And only then are you over on Baal Ta'achar. Yotze b'layla gova kol ha'layla. And if he leaves the end of the year or whatever it is, however long period during the night, then he collects all night. Then he gova kol ha'layla v'chol ha'yom. Then he collects all night and all day. So here again, we see clearly in the Mishnah that says all night and all day. So that would be like Shmuel. How is Rav going to understand that? Mela, in the previous case, you could say it means one or the other. But here, the Mishnah is clearly distinguishing between whether he leaves by day versus when he leaves by night. And it says when he leaves by night, then you have all night and all day. So what would Rav do with that? The answer is Omalach Rav Tanoi. Rav will tell you it's actually a machlokas tanoi. The Tanya, Schir shows the yom gova kol ha'yom, Schir shows the laila gova kol ha'laila. Rabbi Yehuda holds like the way that Rav had said that a day worker you have to pay him during the day, a night worker during the night, again when he didn't work the entire day or the entire night, just a few hours in it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Schir shows the yom, go v'kol ha'yom, Schir shows the laila, go v'kol ha'laila v'kol ha'yom. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. So our Mishnah then would be so our Mishnah would be like Rabbi Shimon. In fact, Rishonim explained that it comes out based on that the two parts of the Mishnah are according to two different Tanoim. The beginning of the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda, and the end of it is according to Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara doesn't like to do that, But nevertheless, okay. Once in a while, we do have that.
They don't so, like
yeah. So in any case, Rav will say that's how it is. So therefore, so the sefer of the Mishnah that mentions called Laila B'chol HaYom is specifically according to Reb Shimon. Well, Rav will say, I don't hold like that. I hold like Reb Yehuda that it's always only during that time. So if it was by day, then by day. If it was by night, then by night. And therefore, that's how it is.
Now the Mishnah was written so that it could be memorized. It wasn't even written at first,
right? Right.
And therefore, it kind of makes sense in the flow. You should put things that are memorizable. Also,
yeah.
That might have something to do with why we change from one Tana to another, just because the could flow be. Might be better.
It's possible. Yeah. Very possible. Okay.
Just thinking.
Okay. So fine. So most of the Rishonim, by the way, passing like Rav in matters of dinim mominus, we usually pass him like Shmuel. But here it's a matter of Isser Veheter.
Right.
The Torah is warning you not to do it. So most of the Rishonim pass him like Rav. Okay. The Gemara continues. Now the Brisa that we just quoted that mentions Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon's opinions. The Brisa continues. Mikan Omru, based on this, the Chachamim said, since we see that even you hire somebody for a couple of hours and you have an Isser, if you don't pay him in time, based on this, the Chachamim said, Akoyvash Schar Socher, when a person holds back the wages of a worker over b'chamisha shemis, he's over on up to five different Isurim. The Esse plus one Esse. So five loisa says one Esse. Mishum bal tashik as reacha. Number one, the Torah tells you don't wrong your fellow yid, which means oishek, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara soon, what oishek is. Basically, the basic meaning of oishek is to withhold something that the person deserves. We're going to see in the Gemara the exact definition of it soon. So he's over on that. Or Mishum Bal Tigzel, he's also over on stealing. In fact, earlier in the Masechta, we learned that really, on the face of it, the Torah didn't have to even say an issu of Lois Sigzel. Once we have an issu of Ribis and we have an issu of Oina, automatically, the Gemara says in the fifth parak, we could have deduced from it, if you can't even do Oina and you can't do Ribis, how much more so you can't steal outright. The Lois Sigzel is primarily telling us that you can't withhold a worker's wage. So therefore, he's over on that
what
as well.
What you're saying is, when an act is,
what we're saying is that if he withholds the wages, even though he's not actively taking away from the other person, he's over on Baltics. Oh yeah.
Okay.
So that's the second one. Mishum Baltashik Socher Ani. The third one says that you're not allowed to withhold the wages of a poor worker. Or Mishum Baltolin. The fourth one is the Pasuk in Kedoshim that we've been discussing so far that says don't leave it overnight. Or Mishum B'yoyim Atitin Skaroi. So you have, you also have the Mitzvah's essay in Parashas Kiseitze, where it says pay him on his day. Or Mishum Lo Sovar Al Bashemesh. And the Pasuk there continues, don't allow the sun to set without paying him. So there's your five loisa says in one essay. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? It could be mama leka b'leilyo, it could be leilyo leka be mama. The fact is, some of these isurim apply only to a worker who works by day, and some of them only to a worker who works by night. What are you saying? He's over on all six. So the Gemara says, Amar of Chista, shem schirus ba'alma. So Rav Chista says, you're right. We don't necessarily mean that he's over on, that there's ever a time when a person is over on all six of them. What we mean is the concept of schirus, all of these isurim are set in connection with a hired worker. So yes, it's true, you're never actually going to be over on all six, but it means there are six mitzvahs involved, five loisa says and one essa, and it's possible for a person to be over on various ones at different times. With that said, though, there are Rishonim who learn that no, actually, what it means is once we have those apply some of them to one kind of socher and some to another. Therefore, when a person withholds the wages of a worker, he is in fact over on all of them. You're going to say that you're going to say some of them only apply to a day worker and some of them only to a night worker. But nevertheless, once we're saying that all of them go collectively, then he is in fact over on all. So the Gemara continues. Ezu oishik the ezu gezel. Well, we mentioned there's oishik like sasha kasracha, and there's gezel like sigzel. So what is the actual difference? And the fact is, we're not just saying the Torah is not just giving us synonyms, and it's not just giving us extra lavim just to tell us that he's over. So what is the actual difference? Amar of Chista leich b'shuv. If he does, like in the Pasuk in Mishlei that we quoted before, if he keeps on telling him, go and come back, keeps on stalling for time, Zehu Oshek, then that would be the definition of Oshek. He does plan to pay him, but he's stalling for time. But if he says, Yesh l'cha b'yadi, v'eini noisim lach, but if he says, yes, I owe you the money, but I'm not going to give it to you, Zehu Gezel, then Rav Chisda says that would be the definition of Gezel. Maskif l'Rav Sheshes. But Rav Sheshes questions that and says, how could you say that? How could you say that Oshek means where you have the money and you're going to pay him and you're just going to push him off another time? But we find a brisa that says, Ezu Oshek Shechiva Olav Torah Korban. What kind of Oshek? Now you have at the end of Parashas Vayikra, the Torah describes where a person wrongs or defrauds or whatever another person in various ways and swears falsely about him and brings a korban. Where then when he's ready to do tshuva, then as we learned in Bava Kamma, he has to pay the keren and a choymesh and bring a korban osham. So the brisa describes, and one of the things it mentions in those psukim is Oshek. So what is the definition of Oshek? Dumya to pikadin would be where it's similar to a pikadin to kakofa mamona, where he's denying the mamon at the kakofa mamona, where he's denying the mamon altogether. What is it with pikadin? A pikadin, it's not that you're saying, well, you deposited this thing for safekeeping by me. I don't feel like returning it to you now. I'll return it to you when I get around to it. That's not how it works with a pikadin. Necessarily with pikadin, it would be that you're saying, I don't have it, I lost it, or it was lost or stolen or what have you, and then it turns out that was a lie. So he's denying the moment altogether. So Oshek, so we see that Oshek, when it comes to a schar socher, also on the face of it, refers to denying the money altogether. Not like Rav Chisda is saying that it means I have it, but not like Rav Chisda is saying that he's saying I don't have it right now. And I don't have it available. So Rashi learns the question, in other words, is that where would there be a shvua possible with such a thing? If he says, I don't have the money right now, but I'll get it for you later, it's not really relevant to talk about a shvua. When would it be a shvua? When he's saying, I don't owe you the money at all. The Ravid learns a little differently, that when by the pikadin, the pasuk says b'chichish, that he denies it. So therefore, so on the face of it here, also it means he has to deny it, and not that he's just stolen for time. Now the chidushim Am Yochasim L'Ritva points out Rav Chisda is not really bothered by that question, because okay, he's going to say that the meaning of oshek is going to depend on the context. There can be a context where it means to deny completely, versus over here by schar socher it can mean something else. But Rav Sheshes is taking the view that it should always mean the same thing. Elo Amar Rav Sheshes. So rather, Rav Sheshes says no. Nisatev b'chozehu oshek. If the employer says I already paid you that, and he actually hadn't, that would be oshek. But if he says I'm not going to give it to you at all, zehu gezel, then that would be gezel. Now the Gemara is soon going to ask that Rav Sheshes' question that he had about oshek should apply to this as well. We'll get back to soon why Rav Sheshes is not bothered by that question as well. By Gezel, again, by Pekodin, the implication is that Gezel means that he's denying that he ever received it, as opposed to over here, where Rav Sheshes is saying that Gezel means that I'm not going to pay you, even though I do owe it to you. So the Gemara will ask soon why Rav Sheshes is not bothered by that. But first, Maskif L'Abaya, Abaya says, how could you say that? The same Braisa that we quoted before, that talks about Oshek in connection with the Shvur, says, Ezo Gezel Shechiv Olav Torah Korban. What is the case of Gezel, where the Torah says you chayiv for a korban for a false shvua? Drumia to pekodin, but in it has to be similar to pekodin. The kakofa le'mamona, where he's denying the mamon and says he doesn't owe it at all. So therefore, so Gezel, the same way as Rav Sheshes had objected before that Oshek can't mean to say that I don't have it right now, but I'll have it later. The same way we can't say that Gezel means I have it and I owe it to you, but I'm not going to give it to you, because that's not similar to a pekodin. A pekodin would be that you're claiming that I never got it from you in the first place. So how are you saying over here that Gezel means that, where again, by pekodin, it has to mean something else? Ella Omar Abaya. So rather, Abaya says, Loi schartich me'olam zehu oshik. If he says, I never hired you in the first place, that would be oshik, where he's denying that he ever owes him. Nesatev l'chov, he says, I gave it to you, zehu gezel, then that would be the definition of gezel. So therefore, so he's, because now he's saying, I'm not going to, he's not, now he's saying, I'm not going to, so either way, he's saying, I'm not going to pay you in the one case because he's saying that, in the one case because he's saying, that I never hired you, and in the second case, because he's claiming falsely that he already paid him. So one would be Oshik, one would be Gezel. Well, the Gemara asks, well, Rav Sheshes, Maishna Oshik to Kashalei. Well, we have to ask on Rav Sheshes. When it came to Oshik, he was wondering because it doesn't seem to match the definition by Pikadin, by Korban Shvur. And then he was asking that how could Oshik mean Leich Vashuv, go and come back, as Rav Chista said, when it's not similar to Pekodin, and therefore that forced him to say that Oshik means something else, or Maishna Gezel de Lekashalei. What about, why was he not bothered by the inconsistency as far as the definition of Gezel until Abaya had to come and give that explanation? The answer is, Omalach, Gezel de Gazle Mahadur Kafre, because when it comes to Gezel, I agree that we can use Rav Chista's definition because Gezel doesn't have to imply that he doesn't have to imply that he's that he's saying I'm not going to pay you at all. It can mean that first he said yes. First he said I'm not going to give you at all. The Hoder Kafre, and later on he denied it altogether. So to begin with, when the guy comes for his pay, the Balabas tells him that I'm not going to give it to you now. So then the worker takes him to Beis Din, and then the guy falsely swears that, you know what, I already paid. Well, that's similar enough to Pekodin, and therefore it's Chayv Korban. On the other hand, we're calling him a Gazlan based on his original claim. Now, Rav Chista himself doesn't have to hold of that. Rav Chista is going to say again, as the Chidush Mam Yuchasim L'Ritva said, Rav Chista is going to say that, look, the meaning of the words Oshik and Gezel can depend on the context. But Rav Sheshes, who wants them to be consistent, he would have to say that there was a double claim over here. First, there was a claim which makes him call the Gazlan, namely that he says, I'm not going to pay you. And then later on, in order for it to be similar to Pekodin, he's saying that I already paid you and swearing falsely like that. And meanwhile, Tosfos points out, Abaya, when he asked the question on Rav Sheshes, he knew, of course, he knew that Rav Sheshes could give such an answer, but Abaya figured that the same way as Oshik is only a one-stage thing, the same way we should assume that Gezel is a one-stage thing. And therefore, that leads Abaya to say differently, that both Oshik and Gezel are a one-stage thing, Oshik being I never hired you, and Gezel being I already paid. So therefore that covers all our bases. Okay. So the Gemara asks, though, Hochi Hashda, how are you saying like that? How are you saying that Rav Sheshes is able to, that Rav Sheshes would say that you can define good, that so the Gemara asks, well, sorry, I skipped the line. So the Gemara asks, Yehochi, well, if so, Oshik Nami, well, then why is Rav Sheshes bothered by the meaning of Oshik? The Hoder Kafre, you could also have where it's a two-stage thing. You could say where first he says, Leich Vashuv, I don't have it right now, come back. Later on, the Hoder Kafre, where later on he denies it altogether. Later on, when the guy takes him to Beis Din, then he says, I already paid you. So you could also have the same way as with Gezel, we can say it's a two-step thing. The same way with Oshik, it could be a two-step thing. Why doesn't Rav Sheshes do that? And the answer is, the Gemara says, Hochi Hashta, how are you thinking of comparing? The Shlema Hossam, it's easy to see by Gezel, by Gezel, Ksiv Oy Begozel, where the Pasuk says that he denies him in various ways, one of them being or by stealing, implying, in other words, so it says Oy Begozel, or with stealing, and it says Meklalda Oydele Meikra. So that can imply, and since the Pasuk also says Bechichesh, the Pasuk says that he denies it. So therefore, so we can understand that it means that when is he chayav for Gezel? Only when there's a two-step process over there. How is he doing Gezel? But now he's denying. So even beforehand, we can say, in other words, he was already, there can be a Gezel even before he's v'chichesh. So therefore, it's possible to say that there were two different things over here. One Gezel and one called Gezel and one called v'chichesh, where he denies it altogether. And already from the first time when he says that, when he says, I gave it back to you or whatever, or he says, I don't want to give it back to you, then that would already be considered Gezel. But when it comes to Oshik, does the Pasuk say oi oi ba'oshik? Oi oshak, see, if it says in the past tense, oi oshak, that he already wronged him. Therefore, we have to understand shashok kvar, that he already denied him. As soon as he, that he already wronged him, as soon as he denied it, then that already is considered oshik. Therefore, if Sheshes cannot accept that oshik is a two-step process, and since he's saying, again, he needs it to be consistent with the with what we need it to be consistent with how it is and in connection with Pikodin, unlike Rav Chista, who's not bothered by that. Rav Chista is saying that there's no problem with Gezel and Oshik having different meanings when it comes to a Pikodin, when it comes to a false Shavua, as it does when it comes to withholding a worker's wages. So therefore Rav Chista has no problem saying that by Pikodin, Oshik is going to mean one thing, is going to be that you never were masked by me or whatever, versus by a hired worker, that Oshik will mean, come back another time, I don't have it now. But if Sheshes, who wants them to be consistent, he can't say that Oshik is going to involve first telling him, I don't have it now, and later on denying it in Bastin, because since the Pasuk says, Oi Oshak, then the definition is that as in past tense, it means that already, as soon as he said that, he was over on Oshik. Well, therefore, that's why Rav Sheshes has to say, therefore, that Oshik cannot mean Leich Vashuv, rather Rav Sheshes had said that it means that he claims I already gave it to you. So as soon as he says I already gave it to you, then already he's over on Oshik. It's a one-step process, and already at that point, as soon as he says that Oshak, he's already been Oshik. Whereas when it comes to Gezel, since the pasuk says over Gezel, and it says v'chichesh ba, that the or with Gezel, and he denies it, then therefore we can understand that it means that there can be a stage at which he's over on Gezel, and then a later stage at which he's actually denying. So that would be sort of Sheshes had said that would mean, in other words, where he says that I'm not going to pay you already at that point. He says I'm not going to pay you. That's Gezel. And Rav Sheshes would consider that. Abaya, meanwhile, had said that no, it would have to be, and Rav Sheshes would say that actually there could be a two-step process over here. First, he says, I'm not going to give it to you. Later on, when it comes to Bastin, he actually denies it. And therefore, now at that point, it's like the case of the Korban Shavua. Meanwhile, Abaya disagrees with that and says you can't have any two-step processes over here, and therefore Abaya had said that Oshik would be I never hired you, and Gezel would be I already paid. Okay, the Gemara says another way of looking at it, Rava Omar, Zehu Oshik v'Zehu Gezel. Rava says that no, actually, Oshik and Gezel are in fact the same thing. Unlike Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes and Abaya, who want to say that they have different definitions, Rava is saying that no, they're just two different words for the same thing. So either one, whether he says I never hired you, or whether he says I already paid you, either one would be considered Oshik as well as Gezel. The lama chilkan akosiv. So why does the pasuk split them up? Lava ala b'shnei lavin, to tell us that a person who does that is over on both lavin. As we said before, when we had the list of lavin and esed, we had these two were both among them. So Rava says that if a person says to the worker, "I'm not paying you for whatever reason, whether because I never hired you, and that's a false claim, or whether because he claims falsely I already paid you, or whatever it is, either way he's over on both Oshik and Gezel." So Tosfos points out it's not just because in one place it says Gezel, it says Lo Sigzel, and another place it says Gezel and it says Oshik, not because it uses two different synonyms, because each one has a lav of its own, Lo Sashik and Lo Sigzel. Although Tosfos wonders in that case, but when it comes to the Asham Gzelus, why does the Pasuk mention them separately according to Rava? If according to Rava, they're two words for the same thing. Mela, by the boss of a worker, you could say the Torah tells it separately in order to be over on two Isurim. But in that case, why by a korban shavua? Why would they be mentioned separately? So again, chidushim amir chosim lo ritva, who was talking all this time about the various possibilities as far as synonyms and all of that. So he explains that where the word gezel, the basic meaning of gezel, as we learned from Bava Kamma, is to grab something else from somebody else by force. That's what it's talking about in the case of the korban shavua. Here the Gemara is saying that there can be a case of Gezel by Schar Socher. Now, what does that mean? You paid him and then you're going to grab the money back from him? No, over here, Gezel is going to mean that you're withholding his wages unjustly. And so therefore, Rava is saying, whatever kind of claim you make, in the case of a hired worker, whether I never hired you in the first place or whether I already paid you, either way, that would be considered Gezel, and it would also be considered Oshik. Mishnah says, Echad schar adam, whether it comes to the wages of a person who's working for you, the echad schar behema, or the wages for an animal that you're renting, the echad schar kalim, or whether you're talking about the fee for renting kalim, all those yeshma mishum biyemetiten scharay, the yeshma mishum loisolin pola socher itchad boker. Both of them, you have the mitzvah to pay by day, and you have the mitzvah not to leave it overnight, depending again whether you hired or rented, whether you rented it for the day or for the night. So you have those, and you have all the other yisurim that we learned earlier on the Amud as well. Continues the Mishnah. Emasai, now when is all of this? Bizman shetivoy. Only if, okay, we mentioned this before, that Rishonim mentioned this, actually the Mishnah itself, the Mishnah mentions, and then Rishonim disagree on the details. So Amosai is man shetavoy, when does all this apply? Only when the worker demands his pay. Loy tavoy, but if he didn't demand his pay, ain't over all of, then you're not over on. So now you have actually, there is a, So now there is discussion. Does that mean you're not over at all, or does that mean that is there any kind of issue involved? In fact, the Zohar implies that even without the worker demanding it, nevertheless you still have a mitzvah. So you still have a mitzvah to pay him on time. And if not, then you're still over on the, you're still over on some kind of issue. You're not maybe over on the actual issue of Yomit of Lois Solin and the rest of them, but you're still over on some kind of issue. And in fact, the Sefer Yireim brings on that the Tana, and then we're going to see in the Gemara there are different opinions on the subject, but according to the Tana of our Mishnah, anyway, it was saying that he's not over on the various details that it said in the Pesukim, but nevertheless he's still over on something. He's still over, maybe he's not over on Lois Solon and the rest of those, but he's going to be over on Lois Sashet because you're withholding it and Lois Sova all of Hashemesh and you're allowing the sun to set without doing it. So maybe you're not over on Lois Solon for Olas Socher because he's not claiming it. Like I said before, the Rebbe talked about a lot of times that therefore we have to claim and demand Mashiach, because based on this Mishnah, at least on the surface of it, we're saying that if we don't, then Hashem is not really so obligated to do it. Continues the Mishnah. Kim chohu etzo chendim. What happens if the balabas referred the worker to a storekeeper? Kim chohu. Rashi explains nitkei me'etzle. Like he pulled him away from him. Instead of me paying you, you go to such and such a store. You anyway. He tells him, look, you want to buy such and such payers. So fine, go get them at this store and put it on my account, and I'll pay him later. So if he does that, ain't over all of. Or similar, he sends him to a money changer. Same idea. You get your money from him, and I'll pay him later. Ain't over all of. Then if the storekeeper or the worker doesn't pay him in time, then he's not over, because again, then like we said before, that's not that he's that that it was already arranged that he's not going to be paying him direct. Continues the Mishnah. Socher bizmano nishba v'noito. The socher, suppose he's claiming that he didn't get his pay yet. If it's during his time, and we'll see in the Gemara what that time means, nishba benoito, then he can swear and collect his pay. Meaning, in other words, normally midaraisa, we usually midaraisa, the concept of swearing are not to collect money. You swear in order to become potter. So on the face of it, the balabais over here should be the one who's swearing, and he should be potter. Here instead, as we'll learn in the Gemara tomorrow, Bas Hashem, the worker is instead the one who's swearing, and then he can collect. Yeah, the reason is, the Gemara says, because the balabas may be busy with other things, and he may have forgotten that he paid the worker, as opposed to the worker and knows whether he's gotten paid or not. So that's bizmano, only during the time when he's supposed to be paid. Over his money, once that time has passed, in anishba v'noto, then he can't swear and collect. Then the balabais will be potter. Im yesh edim shetovei bizmano. On the other hand, if there are edim that the worker demanded the pay in its time, hareza anishba v'noto, then he can swear and collect even later, because then we have edim that he did in fact demand it in his time. Mishnah continues. Ger toshav. When it comes to a ger toshav who keeps sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. But so yesh by mishum b'yomatitin schorei. So the concept of b'yomatitin schorei does apply to him. That the pasuk that says by a night worker does apply to him. However, the issue of not allowing the pay to remain by you overnight until the morning, that's talking about a day worker, that doesn't apply to him for reasons that we're going to explain in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Mani Masnissin, who is our Mishnah like? It doesn't seem to be like the Tana, like the Tana Kama of a Braisa that focuses on the words Me'achecha in the Pasuk, and it also doesn't seem to be like a Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Mayi, what Braisa are we talking about? So the Tanya. The Pasuk says like this, in Parashas Ki Seitze, when it talks about the mitzvah of paying a worker on time, when it says, "V'lo sovah olav hashemesh," don't allow the sun to set on it, which again, as we said in the previous Mishnah, refers to a night worker where you have the entire following daytime to pay him. So now the Pasuk says over there, the Pasuk starts by saying, "Loy sashik socher oni ve'evyon," don't withhold, as we said before, what the various possibilities about what oishik means, don't withhold the wages of a worker who's poor, me'achecha, from among your brothers, or from among your gerim, who are in your land, in your gates, meaning in your cities. So the Gemara Darshan's phrase by phrase, me'achecha prat la'acherim, the word me'achecha comes to exclude others, meaning goyim. You are allowed to, it's not a good idea to, it would be a chil Hashem, but you're not over if you hold back, if you delay paying the wages of a goy. Tosfos actually wonders once we say that once we're going to say further that we're including a ger toshav, automatically shouldn't that mean that we're excluding a goy who's not a ger toshav? Tosfos leaves open the question why would you even need a drasha for that? Anyway, gercha is a ger tzedek. When the pasuk continues from among you gerim, that means a ger tzedek, a full fledged ger. Who now is keeping all mitzvahs? Actually, Tosfos wonders on that. Also, well, why do we need to include him? Obviously, he's part of Achecha. He's a fellow Yid, and the answer is precisely because it says Me'achecha. You might have thought the same way as we have by a king, where it says Mikerav Achecha, and a ger can't be a king. You might have thought the same thing. Me'achecha means only a born Jew over here, and therefore Me'achecha, not Kol Achecha. So we would have thought that it doesn't include a ger tzaddik, and therefore the pasuk has to include him. Anyway, gercha ze ger tzedek bisharecha. When the pasuk says in your cities ze oichol nevelas, that refers to a ger toshav who has the right to live in your cities because he's keeping shem mitzvah, but he's eating nevelas because he's not a ger tzedek and that's not one of his mitzvahs. And we find the word bisharecha in connection with him, where it says by a nevela a ger asha bisharecha titnena va'achola. You give it to a ger who lives in your gates, meaning in your cities, and he can eat it. So in short, the pasuk is telling us the iser of the mitzvah to pay your worker on time does not apply if the worker was a goy. It does apply if he's a ger toshav or a ger tzedek. And ainly el schar adam. Now you would only know from that it applies to the wages of a person who's working for you. Minayin l'rabas behem of a kelim. How do we know that also comes to include if you rented an animal or if you rented kelim? Tamalim ba'artzacha. Therefore, the pasuk says, "What's in your land?" Meaning kol sheba'artzacha, any kind of thing that could be in your land, which includes behema and kelim. Tosfos points out there's no way that we can say that ba'artzacha means to limit it to Eretz Yisrael. This is a classic example of a chovas haguf. This is a mitzvah that's incumbent on a person personally, and those apply anywhere in the world, even when the Torah seems to imply otherwise, as opposed to chovas karka, things that involve the land, there's a trumas, maisus, shmita, etc. Those taka apply only in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, continues the Braisa, v'cholam ovim v'chol ha'shemes halalu. In all these cases, a yid, a ger tzedek, or a ger toshav, and behema and kalim, a person is over on all of the isturim that we said before. Mikan omru, based on this, the Tanakama of the Sebraisa continues, based on this, the Chachamim are saying, echad schar adam, echad schar behema, echad schar kalim. Whether you're talking about the wages of a human worker, and again whether he's a yid or whether he's a born yid, a ger tzedek or a goy, or behema or kalim, yesh b'mishum b'yom etitin scharay, v'yesh b'hem b'shum bal tovim po'ol asachar. Either way, all of the things that we said are going to apply. You have the mitzvahs eset to pay him by day, and you have the mitzvahs lois eset to not allow him
to not allow it to be left over overnight by you, and the various other isurim that we said before. Again, according to Rashi, you're still going to say that he's never over on all six that we said before. It's some or some others, depending on whether he was a day worker or a night worker. And again, we said there are Rishonim who seem to learn differently and who say that in fact the Gemara had implied that a person would in fact be over on all of them, because once he's over on some of them, then he's over on all. In any case, so the Tanakhama says, again, now the question was that in our Mishnah, it didn't say like that, but here the Brai, here the Tanakhama of the Braise is saying that he is in fact over on all of them, that there's no limitations where he's not over on some of them. There's no limitations where we say that he's not over, that he's over on only some of them when it comes to a Ger Toshav, or when it comes to a Ger Tzedek, etc. So that doesn't fit with our Mishnah. So, and the Braise continues, Rav Yosi ben Yehuda Omer, Ger Toshav Yeshva B'Shem B'Yomer Titin Tzchorei. When it comes to a Ger Toshav, you have the mitzvah to pay him on time, the mitzvah's Eser, and you have all the things that apply to a night worker. The Ein Bo Mishum Lois Solin. However, on the other hand, the concept, the mitzvah, the mitzvah in Parashas Kedoshim of Lois Solin, and don't leave the wages overnight by you, and the various other things, those don't apply to a Ger Toshav. And as far as Behemah of a Kalim, and also Behemah of a Kalim, Ein Behem Elam Mishum Bal Tashik Bilvad. And when it comes to the wages for Behemah of a Kalim, then Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says you're over only on Bal Tashik. So in short, in other words, so Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda is saying that when it comes to a Ger Toshav. So in short, let's review then. So we have on Mishnah, which had said that when it comes to a Ger Toshav, you only have Yom Titin Sforoi. Fine, so far that agrees with Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, and it doesn't have Bal Tolin, that also agrees with him. But the Mishnah had said earlier that Behema and Kalim, all of the things apply. Whereas according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, by Behema and Kalim, only Bal Tashik applies. So Mani, so who is our Mishnah like? E Tanakama. If according to the Tanakhama, who learns from the words me'achecha migercha bisharecha, well then kasha ger toshav. And the question is, the Mishnah doesn't fit with him as far as ger toshav. According to him, with a ger toshav, you're over on all on as many as 60 surim, and according to the Mishnah, you only have biyamitit and schari. The e Rabbi Yosi, and if our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, kasha behem of a kalim. Then the question would be, the Mishnah is saying that by Behema and Kalim, you're over on all of them, whereas according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, you're over only on Bal Tashik. So our Mishnah doesn't seem to fit with either of the opinions over here. There is, by the way, an interesting svara. So Taka, why would we say by Ger Toshav, why indeed would we say that by a Ger Toshav, we would be over only on the mitzvahs that apply to a night worker and not to a day worker? So the Pnei Yeshua gives an interesting reason. First of all, people don't usually work by night. Who would work by night? Only somebody who is desperate for money. So therefore, the Torah gives the Ger Toshav a break as well and says, listen, have rachmanos on him. He went to the trouble of working for you by night. Make sure you pay him on time. Another point is also, the Pnei Yeshua says, another point might be because it's one thing when you have a yid working for you and we're saying he works for you by day, then you have the entire night to go and put together the money. I mean, in other words, for a fellow yid, the Torah expects you to be matriach yourself and stay up that night and work to gather the money together. For a Ger Toshav, maybe the Torah didn't want to impose that on you. According to that, then the vote would be that then if the next day passes, then maybe in fact maybe he would at that point be over because of biyoyim etichin schori. Because after all, during the daytime, even for a ger toshav, you have to put the effort together. So the Pnei Yeshua discusses that point. So he mentions that the chiddush mamil chosim lo ritva disagrees with that last point about if you worked by day and then you don't pay him during the next day, and it's sorachiyum, he says on that. Okay, so the question is again, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Amar Rava, hi Tana, Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel. The answer is there's a third opinion. There's Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, echad schar adam, echad schar behemah, echad schar kelim, yesh b'mishum b'yemet tikin sforoi, or mishum lois solin. He says that the mitzvah to pay by day and to pay during that day, and the mitzvah to not leave it overnight, apply to Odom, Behema, and Kalim. And he says, Ger Toshav, Yeshma Mishum, Yom Titin Skore, Behem Mishum, Bal Tolin. When a Ger Toshav, you have the mitzvah to pay him by day, but you don't have the mitzvah of not leaving over the pay by night, because again, like the pay Yeshua Svara, the Torah is not going to be Matriach you to go around during the night to try to collect the money on behalf of Ger Toshav. So therefore, Tanad Ve Nabi Shmuel is exactly what it says in our mission. Okay, so we have three different opinions. Well, the Gemara says, my time at the Tanakama, the Me'achecha. Well, the Tanakama of the Braisa that mentions the word achech, Me'achecha, why is he saying that by, why is he saying by Ger Toshav, all the mitzvahs apply, unlike Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and unlike Tanad Ve Nabi Shmuel? The answer is Gomar Socher Socher, because he learns on Exeter Shava from the word Socher. It says sachir both by a day worker and by a night worker. So therefore, no matter what kind of sachir then it is, given that everybody agrees you're over by a ger toshav on something. So therefore, the Tanakhama is saying once it says sachir both by a day and by a night one, then it means that we're going to apply it across the board to the ger toshav, to behema and kalim and all of that. Whereas Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, like Gomer, Socher, Socher, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of that Zeta Shabbat. So the implication would be, in other words, because he says that he would say that the word Socher in these places are needed Legufay, or they're needed for some other Jerusha. Tosfos points out there's another case in Kiddushin also where it talks about learning Socher Socher and learning from that certain dinim about an Evet Ivri and about an Evet Ivri that would be over there because over there we talk about that the words over there are mufna, they're available because they're not used for any other derasha, where here Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would apparently understand that the words Socher over here are needed for some other derasha. So the Gemara asks, so Nehidu like Gomer Socher Socher. Fine, even if he doesn't learn the Gzeder Shava, Behem of a Kalim, Mishum Beyomet Titin Schori Nami Nechayev. At least though he should be Chayev on Beyomet Titin Schori for Behema and Kalim. Why is he saying that if you don't pay for Behema and Kalim for the rental fee in time, then you're over only on Bal Tashrik? Why shouldn't we say the Esser paying on the day itself applies? And the answer is Toni Rav Chananya, because Rav Chananya teaches in a Braisa. When the Pasuk mentions the Loisase of not allowing the sun to set without paying him, the Pasuk says, don't let the sun set on him because he's poor. So Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda darshins from that. Therefore, the concept of paying on time only applies to people where it's relevant for them to be rich or poor. Yotze behemah v'kalim. So therefore, he says that itself comes to exclude a behemah or kalim shein and boing the dan nearest fashiros. There's no such thing as an animal becoming poor, or there's no such thing as an animal or a behemah becoming poor, as an animal or kalim becoming poor or rich, and therefore, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says the posuk is being memayit that the loisase of not leaving over the wages doesn't apply to him. So therefore, he says the only one you can say is loisashik, which means don't hold back, which means don't hold back the wages. Now, how does that mean? The fact is they're not getting the wages themselves. It's the owner of them. Who's getting the wages? So the Kiddushim Am Yechasim La'Ritva says B'doichak, since the Pasuk also says Ba'artzecha. So maybe therefore, listen, you know, we said before Ba'artzecha includes Behema and Kalim, and if it weren't for that, what would it be necessary? So therefore, at least we can learn that Lo Sashak applies to that. Okay. What about the Tanakama? Hai ki onihu mai ovidlei. What is the Tanakama doing with the words ki onihu? Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda is saying it means not behema and kalim because they can't become poor. Well, then what is the Tanakama doing with those words? The answer is ahumi bo lahakim oni la osher. He says that means if you have two workers, one's poor and one rich, and right now you have the money to pay only one of them, you pay the oni ahead of the osher. Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, what does he do? Where does he learn that concept? The answer was Ahumi lo sashik socher oni ve'evyan nafta. He says you learn that from the previous pasuk says that the same pasuk says don't withhold the wages of a poor or needy worker. Now obviously you're not allowed to withhold the wages of any worker, poor or rich. So therefore it means, in other words, that the Torah is telling you put the poor one ahead of the rich one. What about the Tanakama? What is the Tanakama answer to that? So he says no. Chad lahaktim oni la'osher, v'chad lahaktim oni la'ev. The difference is not only you have a difference between poor and rich, within poor people themselves, you have an oni versus you have an evyon. An oni just means a regular poor person. An evyon, Rashi mentions over here, he mentions on the psukim in various places as well. The word evyon is meloshen over. He's desiring, he wants things, and he can't get them. So he's worse off than the, he's worse off than the oni. So therefore, so you're saying that the oni comes before the evyon. Even though the evyon is more miserable, nevertheless the oni comes first. Now why is that? So Gemara explains. Otzricha. Now we need both. Diashmin and evyon. If we were told that the oni comes before the evyon, you would say mishum de evyon, mishum de like kosef mitve. The evyon, being that he's desperate, he's not embarrassed to go and demand his pay because he's already used to it. He's already used to begging. He's already used to being embarrassed around people, and therefore give the oni first, where the oni is not used to that kind of thing, and he's embarrassed to demand it. Avo osher, the kosif mitve, a rich person is also embarrassed to demand his pay. So maybe therefore emaloi, maybe the oni shouldn't come ahead of him. The iashmin and osher, and on the other hand, if we only said the oni comes before the osher, you would say mishum the osher like tzarechlei. Look, the osher doesn't need it; he has plenty of money. Avo evyon tzarechlei, but the evyon who actually needs it badly, emaloi, maybe the oni should not come ahead of him. So therefore we need both. So we need to be told that the oni goes ahead of both of them. He goes ahead of the osher, but he also goes ahead of the ebb. So an interesting point that Ashash brings up, an interesting point. What if one is an osher and one is an evyon? Which one comes first? So then he says, then the evyon comes first. But when there's an oni there, then the oni always comes first. Okay, so the Gemara says, Vatana Didan. Now, what about the Tana of our Mishnah, who said, again, that you're over when it comes to Behemoth of a Kalim on everything? And Tana Dveda Bishmol, who we said is the same as the Tana of our Mishnah, they're saying you're over on everything with Behemoth of a Kalim, and they add, Rashi adds, they don't hold that you're over with a Ger Toshav on much of it. As we said in the Mishnah, with a Ger Toshav, you're only over on the mitzvahs for a day, for a night worker, but not for a day worker. So the question is, if they're learning the Gzeira Shava of the word Socher, then they should learn, again, that it applies, that all of them apply. So Manafshach, Iyalef Socher, after the Ger Toshav Nami, if they're going to learn the Gzeira Shava on the word Socher, then the Ger Toshav should be included, and all the Isurim should apply to him, not just the ones for a night worker. The Ilo Yalef Socher, and if they don't learn the Gzeira Shava, Behemoth of a Kalim and Ole, then where are they getting by Behemoth of a Kalim that you're over on all of them? That you're over on something, fine. It says ba'artzicha, but that would only mean the mitzvah paying them on time. Where would you get that? Where would you get that you're over on all the various issues? The answer is la'olam lo yalef socher. In fact, the Tana of our Mishnah and Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel are not learning the Gzeira Shava socher. So therefore, they don't say that all the Isurim would apply to a Ger Toshav. What about the Behemah of a Kalim? Shiny Hossam, the Amakra, the reason why by Behemah and Kalim, you're over on all of them, that the Tana of our Mishnah is saying, the Amakra, Lois Solon, Pa'ula Socher, Itcha and Berker. The Pasuk says, don't allow it to stay with you until the morning. That implies Kosha Pa'ula Se Itcha. Whenever you have something where the work is being done with you, then you have to pay. So therefore, that would include Behemoth of Kalim. Well, the Gemara says, Ehochi, I feel Ger Toshav Nami. Well, then shouldn't it apply to the Ger Toshav as well? He's also working for you. And the answer is, Omakura Re'acha. Because the Pasuk says, Le'sasha, because Re'acha, your fellow Yid means Veloy Ger Toshav. Then it means not a Ger Toshav. Well, then Ehochi, I feel Behemoth of Kalim Nami. Well, then in that case, it should be Mamayat Behemoth and Kalim as well, because after all, they're not Re'acha either. And the answer is, Hoksiv Itcha. Yeah, but you have the ribui from the word Itcha. Well, now that we have a ribui and a miut, so you have the usual question, why are we being mamayat one thing and marba another? Mara Isa l'rabis behemav kalim alahoitzi ger toshav. What makes you say that Itcha comes to include behemav kalim, that he's over on all 60 surim, and that by a ger toshav he's only over on some of them, maybe the other way around? And the answer is Mistabra, Behemah of a Kalim, Havalei L'Rabbis. It's more logical to include more things by Behemah and Kalim, Shekain, Yeshnan, Bechlam, Momen, Re'acha. It's not Re'acha, it's not your fellow Yid, that is true, but at least it belongs to your fellow Yid. as opposed to ger toshav ein bechlal momen reacha, as opposed to the ger toshav is not included even in the property of reacha, and therefore it's more logical to exclude him. And therefore, it's more logical to exclude him and say that, therefore, yes, you're over on something if you don't pay him on time, but not all of these surim, only the ones that apply primarily to a knight. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, with analyzing these various opinions and the various psukim on the subject. Shkayach, everyone.